welcome our pastor. Oh, wow. Good to see you guys. Y'all doing all right today?
Yes.
Great. It's starting to get a little bit sunny. I'm glad. And I'm excited about today's message. 2020 is going to be, I really feel just that God's with us, that some things that he spoke to me a couple of years ago, probably about a year and a half ago, that I think are really going to take place. And those are good things. You know, he gave me two words for this year, and the first one was connect. And my heart for everyone here, me included, is that we can connect with God and that we can connect with each other. And something happens when you connect with God and you connect with people. And it really is the second word that he gave me, is power. And my heart for you is that you can live a powerful life because your life is powered by the Spirit of God and not by your own self-will. And I know that's easy to say, it's not so easy to live. But God's called us to connect with him and connect with each other. So the two things that I have that they told me I need to talk about, number one, are small groups. They start the week of February 16th, they're a blast. We've had actually more response than we ever have for small groups. It's really cool. I already lead one small group. My wife and I are doing a small group. Sorry, but on that one, that still sounds terrible, but I've got to handpick some young people that I know I want to pour into that are, does that sound bad? My wife's looking at me like, it's not bad. Yeah, it's not going to be up on the thing. But my men's group is, but if you're man enough to get up super early on Saturday mornings, you can come. There you go. So small groups, and you see dates for, I think there's trainings and interest groups, and you should lead because there's leadership on you. Don't just host, be a leader. Everybody here is a leader in some form or fashion. People are following you. You have some level of influence, and my heart for you is when you're connected to God and you're connected to other people and you're walking in his power, you can't help but become a better leader at what he's called you to. So lead, step outside of yourself because this is how we grow. This is how we grow personally. When you lead a group, this is what happens. You grow personally because you step into an area where you're uncomfortable. And God loves you tremendously, but he is not always concerned with your comfort. In fact, I don't know that he's concerned very much at all with your comfort, but he is concerned with you growing. And I have kids, and there are many times I'll put them in situations that are uncomfortable, but it gets them to the place that they grow. And when they grow, you know what they are? They're fulfilled because they're walking out the potential that I see in them. And let me tell you, as your pastor, and I know I'm talking fast, y'all got to listen quick, okay? When you step outside of yourself and you connect with God and you connect with people, man, he uses you and people begin to follow you and there's a fulfillment that takes place. And it's how, so you get fulfilled and you influence people. It's huge. It's awesome. The next thing, so get plugged into a group. I'll be doing at least two this semester. They're life-giving and amazing. The next thing is this Wednesday. If you were here this past Wednesday, we had a packed house. It was great for worship night. It was awesome. So this Wednesday, we're not doing necessarily a worship night that I'm sure will have some music of some sort. It's not a service. We're going to, I just wrote down like prayer and share. So we're going to pray together and you'll have the opportunity if you need to share with someone what's going on or what God's done in a good way, that opportunity. And my heart is that we can connect together. You know, we're in the middle of 21 days of prayer and fasting. Today is what, day 7? Nobody knows. Come on now. I hope that you're praying and fasting. Here's the point of praying and fasting. The reason that we fast is that we are going to be intentional about feeding our spirit more than we feed our flesh. And I love food, and I love to eat. But there's something powerful that happens when you choose to say, like for me, I'm eating one meal a day, a relatively healthy meal. The emphasis on relative, you know, relatively healthy. So I'm eating one meal a day, and that can be pretty painful. But I want to take the time that I'm not eating and with intention seek God. Let's seek God together. Cool things happen when we do that. Okay. Y'all ready? Okay, we're gonna pray. We can get started. Father, may we hear from you. I pray that your word just is in our hearts, that when we read the Bible, it's more than just printed words on a page, but you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this year, with the word of the year for our church being connect, and the secondary word being power. This is months ago. I really felt like the Lord was leading me to speak on connection. And if you've been around here for any length of time, man, I love the Old Testament. It's so amazing because you see the nature and the character of God. You find out what God's like in reading the Old Testament. And the New Testament it's equally awesome. And we see the application of what that looks like in the person of Jesus and then his followers shortly after his death, burial, and resurrection. And I felt like the Lord said, we need to look at the book of Acts. This is the format for the next 5 weeks. And today I'm kind of giving you an overview. And the series is connected. And with the ED, kind of the emphasis on like, we're to learn. And I want us to learn how to grow together. I want us to understand, and y'all can see that up there, understanding God's plan together. Because here's the thing, God has a plan for each of us. And when you surrender your heart and your life to him, some really cool things happen. So this whole series is based out of Acts 1 and 2. And how I really believe that if we just trust God and we choose to connect, some really cool things happen. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, you can download an app on your phone. I use the YouVersion app. It's great. But at the end of the day, I'm old school and I like paper. So, although my Bible's kind of falling apart, it's only like 2 years old. I think it's a dumpy Bible, but I like it. Y'all alive out there? Wow. Ooh, y'all are. Look at that. Okay. So I didn't really even title this message. Let me just say something. God's teaching me how to be dependent on him because I like very structured and scheduled and organized things. Though by nature, my wife will tell you that I'm perhaps not the most structured, scheduled, and organized person, but I love it. Anybody else like that? And so I like having everything that I preach outlined for the year. For the last 3 years, that's what I've done. Like I've had a message map that I'm doing for the whole year, and I usually have it done by October. So, but like come October though, I've got no clue, and God just gave me this one thing, and I don't have even the next series lined out, and all I have is week by week. So y'all don't think that I haven't been preparing because I've had, but it's looked different. I'm seeking God. I'm reading the Bible. I'm going, God, you got to help me. And he just keeps giving me these little bitty nuggets that drop in. And so I feel kind of weird when I step up to preach for the first service for sure, because I have this service, I have like 5 points in scripture and that's it. And he's teaching me to be dependent. My pastor has been telling me for the last several years, you need to learn how to live God dependent. You know, I've always thought that independence is a tremendous strength. Understanding and confidence who you are and that you can do whatever is before you is a tremendous virtue, but it's not independence because independence says I don't need anybody else. And there was a lot of my life that I lived independently. It's nice to have people around, but I don't need you because I can do that because I know that I can. God's gifted me. I can do it. But there's something that happens when we become dependent on God. Are y'all following me here? I hope so. So in this, me like not being able to get a message out, it's like, oh my gosh, look, I need you. You got to show up because it's going to stink if I stand up there and just pontificate in my own strength. It's bad. So we're going to read the scripture. We're reading Acts chapter 1. It's written by Luke, who was a physician. Luke was also one of Jesus's closest followers. He wrote another book in the Bible called the Gospel of Luke, the book of Luke. And he was with Jesus throughout his ministry. He was in Jerusalem when Jesus was betrayed. He was in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified. He was also in the area when Jesus rose again. And he is a devoted follower of Christ. He's an educated man. He's an influencer himself. And he is writing this book, the book of Acts, to his friend Theophilus. And we're going to read the first verse of Acts 1. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instruction through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, so he's writing to his buddy, hey, I'm going to tell you what happened after Jesus died and rose again. Man, he was with us. Like we saw him on and off for 40 days. He was with us. He appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. For John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus says. Verse 4, put it back up there. He says, he was eating with them, he commanded them. He's telling his disciples. Now he's the resurrected Jesus. And Luke is telling now the story of after the resurrection. And Jesus speaks to his closest followers and he says, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. And I'm just praying that today that you recognize that God has something for you, a gift for you here today. Don't walk out of here without receiving that, whatever that may be. So he writes this. And then now we're going to, they're waiting. They wait in Jerusalem. After Jesus has spoken this, they wait in Jerusalem, all of these followers of Jesus. And we come to Acts chapter 2, and they're still waiting. And there's this big festival. It's the festival of Pentecost that celebrates the deliverance of the nation of Israel, not just from slavery in Egypt, but that God provided for them while they were in the wilderness. Pentecost is Sukkot. And in fact, they build these little tabernacles, like these little huts that they'll live in and to remember and honor what God has done and helping them survive through the wilderness. Have you ever been in a wilderness? Come on, have y'all? And I'm not just talking like, oh yeah, I went backpacking once, we were in the middle of nowhere, or I grew up and we didn't have running water or toilet paper or electricity. And, you know, we used to eat live chickens. Have you ever been in an emotional wilderness or a financial wilderness or a spiritual wilderness? Have y'all ever been there? Yes. And let me just tell you, if you've ever seen God show up in that time and bring you out of it, it's an amazing thing. So they're commemorating that God delivered them from wilderness. And it is the day of Pentecost. It's the pinnacle of this celebration. It's a huge celebration. There's three big festivals that Jews at this time, and even today, but Jews at this time were required to travel to Jerusalem. And not all the Jews today are required to travel to Jerusalem for this, but there's still three major festivals. This time, the three traveling festivals, this was one of them. And so Jews from all over the world were in Jerusalem. And it's Pentecost. It's a huge deal. Chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Do y'all see what's happening? It's Pentecost. Jesus told them, listen, y'all need to hang out in Jerusalem. These are all his followers, his closest followers. Hang out in Jerusalem. I got a gift that's coming your way. Don't leave until you get it. And so now they're waiting. It's Pentecost. They're all together, and all of a sudden this crazy thing happens. Like they're sitting together, and then like above their heads are like flames of fire. And then when they open their mouth to speak, which would probably be like, bro, what's going on? That's some crazy stuff up over your head. But it came out in like another language. And it kind of freaked them out. Wouldn't that freak you out? Yes. And so they're like, whoa, I'm speaking another language, but nobody hears them in Hebrew. Or Aramaic, they hear him in like a different language. And so they leave that place because God's shown up. It's like super powerful. But when they go out, they're not just speaking gibberish. They're speaking languages of those Jews who've come to Jerusalem. And they hear them speaking of the goodness of God and what Jesus did. It's really crazy. And then this amazing miracle takes place. That day, Jews from all over the world hear the truth about Jesus and who he was, that he wasn't just a good man or a prophet, but he was God in human flesh, and that God sent him more than just his demonstration of love and God coming himself. He sent what he said, his son. And they're testifying of that. They're telling people of this. And that day is the beginning of the church. Literally thousands of people hear that message and they're touched by God and their eyes are open to his love for them because of Jesus. It's huge. How does it start? How does it start? And the word for the year is connect. It's a choice. I have to choose it. So, put up verse 1. Here's how it starts. Acts 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. I want you to be connected to God and the people. How does it start? The same way. We have to choose to be connected. You ready? Here it is. All the believers were meeting together in one place. Everybody say these two words. Y'all ready?
One place.
I'm going to say it again.
One place.
Listen to me. We are called to be connected. And this is the first point that I have. We are called to be connected to the place that God has for us. Can we put that up? We're called to be connected to the place of God. We're called to be you're probably going, I knew it, that pastor was going to be talking about we need to be in church. Can I just tell you? Like, I want you to be in church. I'm a pastor. I want you to be in church. But that is not the primary place that I want you to be. That is not the I'm just convinced it's not the primary place of God. I don't think it's the primary place that God has for you. I think it's a secondary place. I think it's an important place. But can I tell you that I love the church? I mean, I'm the pastor. My wife and I came here and planted this church. Like, I love the church. But that is not the primary place that God has for us. I can tell you where the primary place is for me already. I know where it is. It's my chair early in the morning. It's my chair where I have two cups of coffee first. Now I'm fasting, you know, I'm just eating one meal a day, relatively healthy. And somebody asked me, well, you know, you're only drinking water? I'm like, what about coffee? Because I'm thinking about fasting coffee. I'm like, I'm not that spiritual, okay? It's terrible. That's the place that God has for me, and I have to make it a priority. Listen, I remember when I was a kid, and it felt like God was with me everywhere that I went, and like these feelings of God's presence and God's power. Like at 8 years old, I had a revelation of who Jesus was. My heart was touched. My eyes were open. I didn't understand everything, but I knew God loved me, and like there was something that took place there. And when I was young, he did something in me, and I found even as a young person in high school and then in college, it seemed so easy to be connected to the presence of God. And as I've gotten older, I've begun to realize the value of, like, I used to hate as a kid, like, all them old people that are all into their rituals and they have to do things a certain way, and I was Mr. Spontaneity, and that was the way it was in my walk with God. But as I've gotten older, I've realized it's not about rituals, but it is about routine, and I like my routine, and my routine needs to always prioritize this thing, the place of God in my life. My chair, my coffee, my Bible, my journal, my prayer time, that is the primary place that God has for me. Listen, you need to be connected to the place of God. You need to be connected to the place of God. Primary is your time with him. I mean, I know my routines. I like my routines. Like, I have to have my routine. And can I postulate on why I think, like, as you get older, routine, come on, old people have routines. Isn't this true? Isn't it true? Like, my grandmother used to have to watch at 4:30 every day Jeopardy. Like, she had to watch Jeopardy. Nobody else had grandmothers like that? Like, Jeopardy was at 4:30, and then she would do her part of her meal. I lived with her one semester in college. She would make part of her meal, and then she would watch Wheel of Fortune, and then we would eat. It was so good. Y'all remember Mama's? Like, mine was Granny. Granny's food. She's Italian. Oh my gosh, it was so good. But she had her routine. I love routines. It's something like, do babies go to hell? No. There's just something that happens. Listen to me. There's something that happens with that innocent baby that I don't know if they came from heaven or if they just came to be, but I know this, that they're not corrupted by this world. But as this world wears against us, as we get older, some things begin to change. And it seems to me like I can try to fabricate the presence of God, but that's foolishness. But I know this, when I'm in the place of God, in my time with him, I'm much more apt to hear from him. And it may not be with the passionate fire that I did when I was 16 or 17, or 20, but can I tell you, it's so much deeper and clearer because I've consistently been in the place of God in my life. So here's my question to you. Where's your place? It's a commitment that you have to choose your place. Choose your place and let it be consistent. Y'all know God is concerned with geography? Did y'all know that? He put Adam and Eve where? In a garden. He put boundaries on it. Y'all know that? And then he said, expand it, because God's heart and soul for you is to first be at the place that he's called you to, then to walk that out in every footstep that you live, expanding his kingdom in your life. But it always goes back to the place. Y'all know God's serious about geography. Where did Jesus tell the disciples to wait? He didn't say, y'all just hang out and I'm going to send something for y'all sometime. You'll see. What did he say? He said, wait in a specific place. So here's my challenge to you. Where's the place of God in your life? The place. Primary is your time with him. Where is it? Do you make a place for him? Put verse 1, chapter 2 back up. Because it's really, really clear. Acts 2:1, can we put that up? On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in, come on, say it.
One place.
Where's your place? Where's your place? On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting, what's this word? Together. You want to be connected to what God has for you. You have to be connected to the place of God, but here's the second thing. You also have to be connected to the people of God. Look, I want to be connected to the place of God. I love church, and listen to me, you should be in church. You should be in church, but the reason that you should be in church is not because it absolves you of all sin. It's Jesus who does that. It's not because when you walk out, you go, oh, that feels so much better. That the reason that we come together is because the church is not a building and it's not a service on Sundays. And if you think that a building or a service on Sundays is going to build your faith, you're mistaken, because what builds your faith is when you hear from God. That's why Romans 10, 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And God speaks to you when you're in his place, and he can do it at church. Like, you need that, but you also need people who can encourage you. You need the people of God in your life. Hebrews 10 says the reason that we do come to church, the reason that the place is important, it says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but even more encouraging one another as you see the day drawing near. The reason that we get together is to encourage one another. That's why it's important that you get out of your seat and you find somebody. That's why it's important you get connected into a small group. That's why it's important, like, you get connected with some people, because when you are walking with godly people in the place that you know that God has for you, something really awesome begins to happen. But before something happens, you have to choose to be intentional, and that's hard. It is hard. I'm burning up in here. Y'all got to help me out. And I see like half the people fanning. It's hot. Y'all hot? Oh my gosh. Make a man drink. I mean, the place of God's huge. One of my life verses, Psalm 68:6, God makes a home for the lonely. Like, God's called us to this place. He's called us to people. Growing up, my pastor used to say this, and it used to, I'd be like, yeah, but it kind of grated against me. He said this over and over. He said, you have as much of God as you want. You have as much of God as you want. I used to be like, yeah, 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 but then it kind of grates against me too every now and then, because then you realize, well, wait a minute, where are you at? Well, he hasn't gone anywhere. He's with us at all times. He's everywhere. He's waiting for us to be with him. Yes. That's why the place of God in my life is both geographically and spiritually foundational. I have to choose it. It's intentional. That one was less hard for me than this one. I'm called to the place of God. I got as much of God as I want in my life. But I want you to understand this too. You have as many deep, meaningful relationships as you want. I'm just going to say out the gate, you can't have a ton. You can't be in a deep, meaningful relationship with everybody, but you can be in a deep, meaningful relationship with somebody and some people. But it's a choice. But the reason that we are called to be connected to the place of God and the people of God is because there's something that happens when you do it. And the tactic of the enemy is to get you to hate the place of God and hate the people of God. And let me just tell you right now, you hang around people long enough, I don't care how godly they are. You go to church long enough, I don't care how good the church is. There will be things that will do that, like that happen that will the enemy will use to break you apart from both the place of God and the people of God. Put Acts 2:1 back up there, please. In the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting what? Together. Come on, all the believers were meeting? Together. Come on, louder. All the believers are meeting? Together. In one place. That is a choice. You got to choose to be together. You got to choose to be together. It's not easy. I know, because I've been married over 20, how many years? 22 years. 22 years. 1997, we got married. Y'all back off. She flubbed it up too, so. 22 years. And I'm just going to say, I've been happily married for at least 10? She said probably less. thank you. It's hot in here. Can somebody... And this was probably, oh, this was years ago, obviously less than 10, but is it okay? And I am sweating. I'm just being transparent. So we have an awesome relationship and have for years now. It's been fantastic. It really has. It keeps getting better and better. My wife is amazing. She's quiet and reserved and calm and beautiful, and she's prettier on the inside than the outside, and she is so strong. I love her. Anyway. Yeah, she's awesome. Thank you. We got into an argument. I cleared this with her, just so y'all know. I can say this story. And I don't even remember what it was about, but I'm sure it was my fault. Because men, if you're here and you think it's your wife's fault, you dumb. I don't remember what we were arguing about, but I'm a better arguer than her. And in large part, it depends on how you define better arguer. My goal was always to, man, if you're going to be in an argument, what should you do in the argument? If you're a dummy, you think you should try to win. Yeah, it's a stupid, stupid, stupid. My pastor told me, he's like, yeah, do you want to be right or do you want to be in the relationship? And so we argued about something. I don't know what happened, but it was late at night. I thought it was 10. She just told me a little bit. She's like, no, it's like 1 in the morning. So anyway, we get into this argument, and like she's upset and I'm upset, and then she's like, she's quiet, you know? And then she's like, I don't know what's going on, but like she's quiet. She goes to her place, and then all of a sudden I hear like keys. I hear keys late at night. And what's that? Because you hear the jingle of keys, you know, like, oh, and I get it, like, what are you doing? She didn't say anything. She didn't even look at me. She's like, what are you doing? Like, and I see her like heading for the door, and she's like moving at a clip, and I'm like trying to intercept, and like, where are you going? What's happening? What's going on? And she didn't say a word. She just got into the vehicle and started it up and drove off. Well, what you think I'm gonna do? Well, I had to grab my phone, and I start, and she doesn't answer the phone or anything, and she won't answer. I have no idea where she is, and I'm mildly freaking out. And that, now it's been like a long time, like probably 2 or 3 hours. Like, I've heard nothing. It's the middle of the night. I'm kind of freaking out. Have y'all ever been here? Don't look at me judging me now. You know some of y'all done some way crazier stuff than that. And finally, I get a call from my mom. Like, Lisa's fine. You need to stop calling her. And you better get yours. And she just goes into me, you know? Like, what are you doing? And here's the thing. She had every, she was totally justified in leaving. She was totally, listen, there was no infidelity or anything like that, but she was totally justified in walking out and staying out for quite a while because I was a moron and I was treating her like there was no way she deserved to be treated. But can I tell you, it was healthy that she went out in that moment because it was a commitment not to separation. It was a commitment to this truth that we will be in a healthy relationship together. And it's a choice. And if every time somebody does something wrong in your life and you push them away because you got hurt, you're gonna miss out on some deep, meaningful relationships and maybe some God ones. Can we put those things, the connection to the place and the people of God? Because I knew we were supposed to be together and she knew that we were supposed to be together. It just didn't seem like we were supposed to be together because it was crazy. But we knew it. And so instead of acting on our feelings that were tweaked out because of pain and immaturity and insecurity and painful actions, we chose to walk together and we're still married. And it's an awesome marriage. Because when you're in the place of God consistently with the people of God, here's the next thing. You ready? You want to see it? You walk in the power of God. Whew. Okay, we're going to do some reading. Y'all ready? All these people hear him in the native language. We all hear these people speaking in their verse 11. We all hear these people speaking in their own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're drunk, that's all. Every time you choose to be committed to the place of God and the people of God, it's not always easy, but listen to me, the power of God will show up. And when the power of God shows up in your life, people start to listen to what you're saying, but not everybody likes it because some people are gonna think that they're just drunk. They're gonna think you're crazy. They're like, they're just drunk, they're out of their mind. And people are gonna say what they say. Who cares? Verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd. Look at that. I love that. Then Peter stepped forward because listen to me. When you're in the place of God and you're spending time with him, when you're with the people of God, the power of God is going to show up. It's going to show up, but you still have to step out. You got to step forward and say, God, use me. He says, Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and he shouted to the crowd. Listen, all of you, you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk as some of you were assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Peter wasn't occasion, was he? I've been out of the beer blind. The duck blind. Sorry. I hunted with some Cajuns, though. I mean, it's like 7:30. You're out with a lemon. It's like beer 4. Not me, them, of course. He says, it's too early. They're not drunk. And then he begins to speak to them and he preaches to them. I'm not going to read his message to them. But he says this in verse 36. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah. He preaches Jesus. Look at verse 37. Oh my gosh, it's so powerful. Peter's words pierced their hearts. Peter's words pierced their hearts. When you choose to be connected to the place of God, primary and secondary, the people of God, the power of God will show up. People may say you're crazy, some might say you're crazy, but let me tell you, God created you. And this is the fourth point. You'll be connected to purpose. Purpose, the purpose of God, your words will pierce their heart. As a pastor, my role is to empower you and show you God wants to use you. Be in the place, be with the people. His power is coming. Listen to me carefully. God's power is coming. His purpose is to use you. People think that the platform is for the pastor. No, it's not. It's for God to speak to all of us that he wants to use every single person here. All of us. They pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins." Repent just means to turn. "And turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." What's the primary gift of the Holy Spirit? It's deliverance from sin. It's freedom from our sin equaling death. It's salvation and deliverance from all of those things that have haunted us because we've turned from our way, from our sin, and we've turned to Jesus. This is the gift of eternal life. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me." You want to be right with God? Listen to me. The purpose that right now is for all of us to know I'm right with him. Can we put keep it up. I'm good. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this isn't in your scripture. I'm going to read it. "This promise is to you, to your children." Some of y'all need to hear this. "And to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Let's put those four back up. Be called to be connected to the place of God, the people of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. The purpose is for him to use you. Your words will pierce people's hearts in a good way. And they'll glorify God because of it. And here's the fifth thing. We're called to be connected not just to the place, the people, the power, the purpose, but also the plan of God. God's purpose is to use you, but here's his plan when he uses you. Verse 41, "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And all the believers," look at this, "devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals." It's all together. What's God's purpose? Is to use you to speak the truth so people surrender their life to him. And then here's the plan. It's us hanging out together, learning from one another, fellowshipping together, sharing in meals, praying together. And look at verse 43. "A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles and signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had." Look at verse 43. Put that up, because here's my prayer for you today. Is that we can put 40. "A deep sense of awe came over them. And there were signs and wonders." Can I tell you, my heart for you is that you are so connected to the place of God in your life, the people of God, that you experience the power of God, that you recognize his purpose is to use you, that you walk out the plan of God, which is to walk in awe and go, "God, you're amazing. Everywhere I look, I see you speaking to me. There's another sign that you're with me. Here's another thing. My life is a walking miracle. There's a miracle before me." Listen to me. It doesn't have to be the weird televangelist stuff where people are it's just strange and odd. Somebody from the 80s say, "I get you." But let me tell you, we are called to stand in awe of what God does in us because we're connected to the place that he has to us, the people that we have, that he's placed in our lives that have a heart for him. And really the byproduct, his power, his purpose in using us, and the plan that we get to do life together comes to pass. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here and this message is for you and this one thing. Back to Acts 1. And Jesus says, "Don't leave until the Father sends you the gift he promised." Maybe you're here and you walked away from the place that God had for you. Like you left. You're like, "I know I'm supposed to wait." We think that waiting is such a bad thing, but it's not. Maybe you're here and that you've walked away from the place that God has for you. That you know that you did not receive what you knew he had for you. Can I just tell you, it's not too late. And that God is a God who lives outside of time, and he's not really concerned with the past because he redeems it and he transforms your present so that he can write the future that he desires for you and for those around you. And if you feel like that you have stepped out of the place that you left, that you didn't wait and that you didn't get what God had for you, let me just tell you right now, he's saying to you today, return. And he brings redemption. But some of you here, you've never really been at the place that God has for you, and he's calling you today. And I don't care if it's you need to return or you need to go for the first time. If you're here today and you know that God is calling out to you, I want to pray for you. If you're here and say, Pastor, this message was for me, I need to surrender to the place and the people of God in my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. Come on, raise them high. Don't be ashamed. Stick them up as high as you can. Don't hold them halfway. Make a full thing. Come on. And some of you, they've got a bunch of people raising hands. Some of you need to raise your hand. You know it. You can sense it right now. Raise it high. Come on. Father, I just pray for those with their hands raised, that God, that you meet them. Jesus, you said if we ask that you're going to answer, if we knock that you're going to open the door. Do that now. Can all of us just pray together? Say, dear Jesus, I turn from my way. I turn to you. I receive your forgiveness for my sin. I'm coming to your place, and you can have mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we celebrate that? That's awesome. Listen.